Hello, this is Paul with Comedy Potpourri, and today we are doing part 5 of UFO, and it is mutilations. So again, I'm Paul.
I'm Alan.
And we're going down the rabbit hole again.
Oh yeah, baby. We're going down the rabbit hole, and bugs, watch it.
So, Alan actually has experience with cattle mutilations.
That is true. Back in the day, during the UFO, at its height of the X-Files, I had asked a friend of mine, who was an actual UFO investigator at the time, to let me know if and when he had a investigative thing that he wanted to check out. And I had actually gone on two separate occasions. One was to deal with a chupacabra sighting.
Oh, really?
And another one was a UFO cattle mutilation situation, which is what we're going to be focusing on today. And that actually did happen back in the late 90s, before the year 2000.
Wow. I mean, and the mutilations are usually what? Genitalia gone, tongues gone.
Okay, well, that brings up a good topic. So what are the typical tail signs of a cattle mutilation taking place? Now, from what I've been able to find, there's a number of about 6 different items that are usually occurring in a cattle mutilation. 1, tongues are removed. Cheeks are removed, sex organs are removed, eyes, ears, and rectum.
So the one I've been reading on, they say it's the left eye and the left cheek.
Now, from my own personal experience, that is correct. I actually had seen that on the left side of a calf back in, I'm going to say 1998, I think at this time. A friend of mine had contacted me and told me that there was a mutilation that had taken place in Red Bluff, California. And he and I, during that weekend, which is literally about a week after said event took place, we traveled down from Eugene, down to Red Bluff, California, and had joked all the way along the way, which we normally do anyway. And then we got to Red Bluff, California, and got to the ranch. And it had been freezing weather, so it had been 32 degrees or below in that particular area of Red Bluff, California. And so we found the calf, and it hadn't been moved or anything like that, and so we tipped it over. And so what was exposed to us was its left side of its entire face, its tongue was gone, its left eye had been excised, its left ear was gone. There were 7 cuts in its wrist area or upper chest area.
Was it a Y incision, type of a Y incision, or
no? It
just
was,
straight.
It was like a straight cut. Like there were 7 different incisions. You could see where the blood had colored the white fur of the calf.
Right.
And it was a calf. The further you went further down, its sex organs were removed. Its rectum was cored out, and there was a quarter-sized chunk of skin around where its left knee would be.
Oh, wow.
That was gone. Down to the, I guess you would call it the, all the epidermal layers of its fur and skin were removed. And so there was a thin layer, some sort of a venous between that and, say, the bone or
right.
Something like that. Now, these were all clean. The most remarkable thing is that when we started doing little biopsies of the animal itself, when we cut into the knee, there was still blood in the calf, and it ran like water. Okay, now, keep in mind, this is a calf that had been killed, literally, and had been left there for a week before we got there. The ranchers got another
load. So, the thing is, I know, is like, because of just being out in the woods and everything, is that when there's a dead animal, I mean, it's open food. It doesn't last that long. Coyotes should have been there. Wolves should have been there. All the predators should have been out there, including the ones from, the predator.
And you would be absolutely correct. But nothing, no natural predators in that particular area of the country, which would at least for the Northwest anyway. I don't know how it is for the Midwest or East Coast. But here on the West Coast, usually your big natural predators, such as bears, wolves, cougars, or mountain lions for other people, would be the first group of animals, or coyotes, would have been gone after this particular kind of creature that had been dead. I mean, a lot of animals are just scavengers in most cases. But in this particular case, nothing had been done to this cat.
Well, and you said, how cold was it?
32 degrees or below.
Or below, so your insects would not basically do their job right now. Yeah.
No signs of perdition, I think, for natural.
Did you guys use be able to tell if there's any radiation or anything in there? Did you have anything to do that?
We didn't have any kind of a Geiger count or anything. Okay. What we were able to determine, because we took samples in the cardinal directions of the compass, so northeast, south, and west. We took samples of the ground soil right next to the calf.
Okay.
And then we took a control sample literally out about 50 yards.
Okay.
Out. So you're probably talking about 85 feet or something like that, I believe, if I'm putting that in there. And that's a really rough estimate. I suck at that, by the way. But we took control samples of those cardinal points 50 yards out, give or take. And so we sampled those and we put them into jars to send off for analysis. Now, I had mentioned briefly in previous episodes when we were talking about the harvesting of crop circles and so on.
Right.
There's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Levengood that had been part of that and then had noticed nodes that had been exposed to high frequency microwave radiations that expand the nodes but bend them in such a way that they can be weaved and so on.
Okay. Yeah.
So Levengood was still a researcher in that kind of that field, and so he had taken all these biopsies and had sampled them and had sent them off to him to investigate. Now, what was determined from this calf mutilation was the fact that the calf itself obviously hadn't been affected by any kind of the weather. The blood, again, that I mentioned briefly, had been affected in such a way that when you cut into the animal, and there still was blood, it ran out like water.
Oh, really? Wow.
And so as we found out later on through the biopsies and so on, that there was an unidentified anticoagulant in the blood.
I actually found that in one of the articles I was reading. And that they said that basically they could drain it by using the jugular,
which is called asanguination. That's
right.
The term I've heard. The idea is that the heart would basically pump the blood literally out of the system.
Okay, I know what it is. I know who's doing this because of the blood coming out. We have the Watusi going through the United States. The Watusi tribe. They drink blood.
Don't listen to Paul. It's all lies right now.
And I'm not trying to make sure this is a... I'm just telling you, if you...
When I hear the word Watusi, I'm thinking of a dance.
But they actually, if you know, seen some of the stuff, they actually shoot the goat and drink the blood in the neck.
Okay, well that leads to another thing that comes up during the conversation that I've had with the ranch hands around that site. So there were four questions I asked about this, of the ranch hands that were there. And the first one was like, have you heard of any natural predators? That's the first question they're gonna ask. Because you go to the easiest and most discernible and answerable question you can come up with is like, is it natural critters? Have you guys had any bears, wolves, cougars, attacks of any kind of? And the answer is no. Okay. Have you heard of any cults? Which I had come across in numerous cases in the stuff I was researching, whether or not your Watsisi connection, it shows up in this one, would be one of the six. The other ones. It's like, are there any Satanist cults or black magic cults or something like that that are operating, say, so here's the other one. So, have you guys seen any helicopters or military helicopters around this particular area? No. So you've already exhausted three potential allies. So what does that mean to you? Well, in nowadays, I have to think that there are two possibilities. Extraterrestrial or interdimensional. Because there seems to be a correlation between interdimensionality and extraterrestrial. It seems to be kind of like it's a flip-flop.
Yeah, it is.
You might as well take a coin.
Which way? Yeah. You know? Are they from the future? Or from the, are they through the multiverse?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, I'm sorry, Dr. Strange, but, we're going to have to take a step back on this one.
Or the other word that is used is the ether.
Well, the ether's going out.
Really?
I
guess so.
The word itself, yeah.
Ether or.
It's either or. I've had a few drinks before this even started today, pal. And Paul called me on it already. So. Anyway, but the fact of the matter is that you have this ether, which is supposed to be the space in between things. They used to describe the space between planets or Earth and the moon as the ether, as opposed to just calling it space.
Yeah.
Because it was some sort of interdimensional / spatial difference between one object as related to another. In our case, as we're looking at this, so I've already exhausted three different possibilities. So what's that fourth idea? Well, extra-dimensional / extraterrestrial entities. And we had asked about weird lights and stuff. There was no notification of that. However, if you look at some of the other instances of investigative process, this is popular for public interest. And the other thing, too, is that these particular guys who are being investigated by them had also had their own UFO dealings with them, saying don't need to worry about it. It was through regressive hypnotherapy that they were able to recall this whole incident taking place.
Wow. Like
one instance in particular back in 1976, where a couple guys, I believe, in Iowa, was a big question, had seen something, a big lighted object that came into a field and beamed down over a couple of cows.
The blue light?
Or something.
They said it was a blue light. I remember blue-green light.
I've heard that one. I've also heard light that was so bright that it was brighter than the sun.
Yeah.
Illuminate a particular section of a field right over a cow and dawn.
Yeah.
And then minutes later, this cow had been dropped off. Literally dropped. And I've actually heard this because the place that my friend and I had gone to do this investigative work back in 1998, actually a week later, after we had been done with our investigation, the guy, the rancher, had a 2,000-pound bull, prize bull, by the way, dropped and left an impact. It was up about 150 feet up on a mesa, as opposed to being down in the field where cows could normally graze and so on. There's no way in hell, according to the ranger, that this bull would have been able to get up to this bluff, let alone leave an impact crater of it being taken. And it's like, you can't just be losing bulls like that, because, I mean, that's, you've got a stud, literally a stud.
Right.
Yeah.
So, which will bring us to, there's a story about that, and it's happened here in Oregon, and someone was killing somebody's purebred bulls.
Okay.
They killed, killed six of the bulls.
Okay.
Okay. And what happened is he going in, and this guy's Colby Marshall. He's actually an investigator. And what he did is, they were, okay, this is the red, okay, as soon as it was a giant deflated plush toy, it smells, scavengers have it, did not touch it. Okay, this isn't Oregon. This is not during the winter. The bull's red coat is as shiny as it was going to the country fair, but he's missing his tongue, genitals, and all his blood. Marshall says that the young breeding, they're about $6,000 a piece. And again, studying fees, they make a lot off studying fees. Okay. Who has the ability to take down a 2,000-pound bull? I mean, so they called the deputy, they looked into it, and so this marshal came in, there's, Junkin says it's clear the bulls weren't shot. He ruled out bears, wolves, cougars, poisonous plants, and other theories are even they're a stranger. There's things that they said might have been found satanic altars, or what they believed were satanic or cult type altars and stuff in the area, but that's from the 70s. Since this is, by the way, this is.
Where does this take place?
2023. I think it was like last year.
So I'd seen some
this is like,
that were taking place in Eastern Oregon.
Yeah, ranch. It's outside of Pendleton, Oregon. So they went back, and it says back in 1980, one of the ranch's cows was mysteriously killed overnight, and something that removed its udder was razor sharp. And not one drop. Okay, this is the thing we need to understand. There's not one drop of blood by any of these. Yes. So the sheriff, they put up a $25,000 reward if they can figure out what's going on. This is not. Oh, 2019. I'm sorry. This is 2019, which is not that long ago. So, this is one of the new ones, but Anna King is from NPR. She went and looked at this. And after all these years, King, who is owns the livestock stuff, has never gotten over it. It's when you can't explain it and there's nothing to explain it to, you know, what do you do? I mean, when you have cattle, prize bull. 2,000 pounds, six of them.
For some of the other stuff that I came across, so the New Yorker magazine, back in May 23rd, 23, had actually reported that there was some cattle relations over at least north of Houston, Texas. Six cows were shown on a Facebook channel. And they talked about reports taking place there as far as what happened. It's very common. Again, the 6 points of contact were the tongue, sex organs, ears, cheeks, eyes, and rectum all being gone from these cows all over the Houston area. There are some other reports reported by a Colorado Springs investigator by the name of Chuck Wellenkowski.
What was his name? Wellenkowski. Okay.
There have been reports going back as far as 1869 of cattle mutilations. But the current, the way the current ufology goes back, all this cattle mutilation stuff really stems back to like 1967, back in Colorado Springs with a horse, not a cow.
Stiffy?
Snippy is the name of the sire of the horse. The horse's name is actually Lady.
Yes.
Somebody had misprinted that particular thing, but Snippy is what is commonly known in the vernacular through ufology as far as the first more authentic representation of the catamaran. If you see the pictures of this horse, it's bizarre looking to begin with. It looks like there's a body of a horse, but you see the skeletal part of its neck and its head, and there's nothing else. Its head is completely stripped of flesh and muscle, but there's no blood around the area. Unfortunately, the picture, the way I look at it, it looks like the whole area of grass had been burned around the horse's head, is what it looks like to me. But there's no flesh, no parts on this horse's head at all. And it was reported by two people by the name of Agnes and her son Perry King.
Yes, the Kings.
And they had found no blood around this wound whatsoever. And they also said, in this particular instance around Colorado Springs, that there was a strong medicinal odor in the air. Strong medicinal odor. Which sounds kind of strange to me. It's like, sort of like the reason of antiseptics or something on this horse. But the fact that it was a horse, not a cow, seems to be really relevant in this particular case. And then there's other scenarios that say that the phenomenon of cattle mutilation is worldwide. Wild animals have been noticed or have been noted. Sheep, horses, goats, pigs, rabbits, cats, dogs, bison, moose, deer, and elk have all been associated with cattle mutilations in one form or another. Probably they're not as well known because they're not dealing with actual livestock that has some sort of financial implication attached to it. That would be my guess.
Now, the one I have is like Glenda. I don't know what her name is. Colorado Springs? Is this one in Colorado Springs? Was it?
The city one?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was right in Colorado Springs.
Okay. They have this one here where Glenda huddled over there by the barn. Okay, what happened is they actually had there's three horses, and one was, they call a witness. Okay.
How does a horse be a witness?
A survivor, a witness, whatever you want to call him. Agreement. So, took 10 minutes to coax the animal away from the group. Another 10 for Chuck to get the poor thing comfortable. Chuck was the investigator. Okay. He's supposed to be a really nice horse, but he's really spooked. I mean, he was like a friendly horse. He'd come up to people and everything, and he was really spooked. And he had red, he had markings on him, on his nose and on his legs, like they were burnt.
Microwave?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, there were two, Princess and Buck. There's another one called Princess and Buck. This is a different one that we're talking about. Laying prone in the grass and died unnaturally. Carcasses were flat against the ground on their sides. Same position. No signs of predators. No hoof prints or nothing around these dead animals. And both horses have been stripped to the bone in various places. Most of their hides were still present, but the wounds prolific from head to haunch. And the guy's never seen that before, the investigator. But the wounds, they look very surgical.
Now, one of the odd things about this particular instance is that I don't know how I want to preface this, but There was a scene in the sequence of the Skinwalker Ranch thing where they had been vastly affected by some sort of radiation. They were freaking nuts. The other cows around the calf had noticed that there was something wrong with this calf. They'd been captured on camera. This calf was running around in freaking circles.
Right.
And then, as you found out later on by a veterinarian, that the calf had been exposed to some microwave radiation of high intensity, therefore causing the calf to go blind. Now, I don't know if that calf ever survived from that or not.
And I remember them talking about that they were in a group.
Yeah.
And it's like, this one was picked out, and all of a sudden, the other cattle just went right to the other side, and we're huddled together like, whoa, you know what's going on. So all I can think is when you said about the cow being brought up and down, is that there's a few game there's a game that called that, but it used to also be at the casinos. It was called Moolah, and what happened is these space cows and these space aliens, and they would zap the cows back up. And, never mind.
Oh, needs to be taken up with this canine. You need to make some meat out of it.
Some burgers. Well, this is going to sound so bad.
Go ahead.
But this is a story about tongue. Okay. So.
What about tongue?
Well, I was in the service. I had to inspect meat. I was a food inspection specialist in the service. Okay. And we get fresh meat in and stuff. And we'd have to check it and make sure it's okay. And I just remember they sold cow tongue.
Okay.
Cow tongue, you know, it's maybe about 7 inches, right? And so this other person I was working with picks it up and proceeds to stretch it out to about 2 feet and then slaps it on the table.
Slap that tongue on the table, baby.
There were so many comments that. I'm just thinking. Then I'm thinking, oh god. So the alien, you know, there's probably a couple aliens or one alien who's the
deviant alien.
The Sweeney Todd of aliens.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Or they're really sexual deviants.
Meat pie.
Tongue and anus. So I got to bring this one up. I read some things about it, and it was actually on one of the shows I was watching, UFO shows. It was the Flushing Zoo in 1987. In 1987. Oh, by the way, the Flushing Zoo, which is in New York, is where the 1964 and 1965 World Fair was at. Does that bring anything to you? It's from a movie. Yes. That's where it was filmed.
You know, that's a bit of a stretch for me, but okay. I can see
And so before all this happened, they actually saw lights flashing, and they reported that they saw UFOs. So before this all happened, okay? So they've had some other problems there, and they had financial problems too. So, but this is what happened. 1987, the same caretaker saw green and white balls of light hover above the zoo, causing notable distress to the animals inside. Staff vacated the zoo around 11 p.m. as security was provided by local police. Okay. The morning after the two nights of UFO sightings in 1987, the caretaker and several of his staff opened up the zoo and were horrified to find every animal in the zoo mutilated while still secured in their pet pens.
Now, I think I've heard about this particular story. There's another topic I came across because when I was looking at the phenomenon of contamination worldwide, actually, there were early records that show back in near north of London, England, back as far as 1606. And in this particular case, there was a number, a herd of 100 sheep that were being mutilated for all their, or some of these organs, but their fleece was being left behind. Now, back in the 1700s, fleece is a big deal because that's what wool is being made out of, clothing and so on like that, and dealing with anything that, you know, of the full nature of Northern Europe, and everything like that. So leaving the police behind seems a little ironic that you would, okay, we're going to mutilate this sheep.
Sheep.
But he,
no.
Oh, no. Not again. That's exactly what the sheep were thinking, I'm sure of it. And they're saying it just like that in their brain. No. But the thing is, to me, it's just like, you have all these herds of sheep that are being herded for you know, just fleecing more than anything else to make wool for clothing and stuff for the populace.
Right.
And yet, you're not taking anything else?
No.
You're not taking the wool?
Or even the meat.
Or, yeah, exactly. So, why is this happening? So, there seems to be a precedence that cattle mutilations have been ongoing for millennia. Or at least centuries anyway, for sure. Because, I mean, we're talking literally like 6 centuries since that time or so into the 21st century that we're having this stuff still take place. In eastern Oregon, outside of the counties of Wheeler, Harney, Umatilla, and Pineville, there have been a number of associations with mutilations taking place. I don't have the specific dates, but according to some of the investigators that are there, saying that there's no sign of predators or birds, you don't touch the carcasses, there are no bullet holes, so you can rule out the idea that there are hunters and or poachers after these critters. There's no tracks of vehicles or footprints, and there's no sign of natural predators, of teeth marks, or anything in the carcasses whatsoever. So, that was an interesting thing to me. As I read a little further now, there seems to be a speculation that a lot of these cattle mutilations take place in waves. Like, you know, like tides during the course of the day. And so these waves come through every couple of years or so, where you have a large group of individuals or animals, herds, that are being culled for scientific research or something like that. That's the best thing I can think of.
So that's one of the zoo thing is like they, this is very interesting. So they closed it down and the zoological society was actually running it. And so they were close. They said no more. So city took it over, right? They did have UFO sightings till 1991, but it was closed down and opened in 1992. And they said it was because of, you know, they actually tore the zoo down to the ground and started all over again.
They had to.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, because it was supposed to be really bad. It was really poorly built and everything else. But now, yeah, the city government in July 1987, the zoo would close for renovations and it was begin moving animals out of the zoo. At the time, the zoo renovation was scheduled to take 2 or 3 years. The Zoological Society sought to continue hosting other bringing species there. The Flushing Meadow Zoo was supposed to have closed in 19, but its closure was delayed while the animals were relocated. Yes, yes. So the 30 employees were reassigned to other parks in the city, and the animals were sent to various sites in the U.S. city. Some chickens remained behind the operator. Okay. The problem I have now, I have a problem with this whole thing is that all of a sudden it's closed down. Oh, we're relocating the animals, which they had to because they were going to tear it all down. But why tear it all down unless there is, what do you take off, what do you have to take off the ground if you have some kind of radiation or some kind of stuff, you have to take that soil and everything gone.
Okay, so in most renovations, usually if you're rebuilding an older facility, right? You own the property.
Yeah.
But you've got to basically raise the entire place, whether it be radiation or mold or something more answerable.
But it's a zoo.
Doesn't matter. Zoo's got to come down regardless because if a zoo's been there since like 1900 or something like that, and it's been infected with like a black mold or something.
Right.
it's going to affect the animals.
Well, they didn't say black mold. They just said it was not up to scale. The aviary was falling down and stuff like that, which I totally understand. Yeah, yeah. Okay. But it just seems...
To me, it's like there are potentially plausible reasons for it. However, then you have to remove every single animal, and you're relocating a lot of these people, and you're basically raising the whole thing to the ground, starting afresh.
So now I have one here that has facts about there's been UFOs and stuff, but 1970 was a year of interest because 1973, the cattle mutes started by the thousands. 76 was almost the last year that they had been by the thousands. American and Canada, but in 1978, they came back up to the thousands. For 2 years, sent to Alabama South, which was the primary area before the events deceased. Then the early 1900s sparked up again. And so now we're up and down again. So it's the 70s and the 90s and then now.
So let's just take the extrapolate. So about every 20 years, every two decades, you're going to have a resurgence. Okay?
Oh, you know what it is?
What? Who?
Oh, my God.
Say it.
He shot him and put him in the barn and he's up there waiting for him to come back. He's the guy that flies, that has the wings, and, God, what's his name? Kind of, yeah.
No. Mothman has relocated from Point Pleasant, West Virginia, to Chicago.
So one of...
Get the cryptids right, man.
Well, I don't know if I said this already, but one of the things they found out about the mutilations is that some of them, the liver and heart... were white and mushy.
Okay, so any of the stuff that I had dealt with, either personally or otherwise, never referred to any of that other than the anticoagulant stuff.
Right.
There were specks, black specks, of, I'm guessing, ionized iron and blood, would be my guess, around the cap and the wounds of said animal, because we took soil samples and it showed that there was some stuff in the soil around the cap that we were doing the biopsies in. And it showed some stuff there. But, again, no concrete evidence was ever given other than that there was an anticoagulant in the blood of this cap.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. And then, again, we've talked about this before, before this show started, but they figured that only 1 in 10 is reported, which is, I figure that's about right. It's like Bigfoot, you know. Do you report it or don't you? And what happens if you do or don't? So,
well, okay, it got to be so prevalent during the 1970s when Linda Moulton Howe from Colorado had been brought in to do her research on cattle mutilations, and she wrote a couple books, one called Strange Harvest.
That's
a big one, right?
Yeah.
And that actually, the friend of mine, who's a UFO investigator, had actually been in contact with her directly. So, my third party, I was associated with her in some function. Little Kevin Bacon UFO. Okay, so, but the fact is that we were doing investigative work on her behalf a little bit to report all this kind of stuff. And we did what we needed to do. We took the biopsy, we sent off the Levender, and we did this research on it. So, but nothing else happened after that. But it did bring up a point, which I'm going to bring up with you, Paul, and it's like, is the cattle mutilation thing strictly just relegated to cattle?
No. No, it's not. It's, well, we started out that it's just not cattle. There's, We just talked about the sheep.
There are a number of animals.
Horses.
Animals. But.
Now.
do we get into Hannibal Lecter territory?
Yes. And this is the one where I went down the rabbit hole and I'm like going, okay, people, let's get our aluminum tin hats on.
But must have a fine bottle of Chianti.
So, we talked about Project Grudge.
Okay.
Remember
yes,
that?
Yeah.
One of the earliest programs that was tasked with investigating, you know, flying saucers. There's a part where a soldier, 1956, was investigating in White Sands, which is, you know, Holm Air Force Base in New Mexico. Jeez, I wonder what they...
New Mexico.
Yeah. So Cunningham, Major Cunningham was there and was shocked when he heard a loud scream, thinking Lovett, who was the sergeant, had perhaps been bitten by a snake. English, who was another person there, recounts Cunningham crossed the dune to aid his partner when he purportedly witnessed one of the most bizarre human extraterrestrial encounters. Instead of finding Lovett nursing a snake bite, Cunningham, according to English, recounted seeing the soldier being dragged by a long serpentine arm wrapped around his legs, connected to a silver disc, hovering in the air 15 to 20 feet away. Does that sound familiar?
There's certain parts of it that sound familiar.
The long tentacles floating in the air.
Well, there's that part.
The ghost?
No, not so much a ghost. I'm thinking of, like, War of the Worlds.
No, I'm thinking of the one that happened at that's restricted base that was floating and they recorded. It had kind of tentacles. Okay. Yeah, wrapped around his legs, connected to a silver disc. Okay. Watching in horror as it was pulled inside the craft and then rose vertically to the sky. The major then stumbled towards his Jeep and everything. Okay. According to Joseph's Military Encounters book, base personnel did not confirm any unidentified radar contact near Holm at the time Lovett vanished. The base dispatched search parties into the desert, but it would be 3 days before his nude corpse was discovered, some 10 miles from the site of the alleged abduction. It had been exposed 24 to 48 hours to the elements.
Was there anything else? Was there any radiation?
No, but let's talk about what happened to him. He was severely mutilated. His tongue has been cut out from the lower portion of his jaw. His eyes gouged out and his anus removed. Medicals are reported pertaining to the incident. English alleged that the coroner remarked on the apparent surgical skills used to remove the organs. In particular, the anus and genitalia have been nearly extracted like a plug. And it had been completely drained of blood. And there was no vascular collapse, usually associated with death by bleeding. So, he died before he was drained of blood.
So, amongst big circles of investigators in these particular topics, one of the topics that had been brought up was, are there barriers and or nations that you find on much of this information being released in? Now, what I came across back in the late 90s, early 2000s, is that there seemed to be a barrier. So, like anything in the United States, only persisted to dealing with just cattle, most of the time, right? But anything south of the border of the U.S., that was fair game. So, you have people in areas like Colares, which we talked about in Brazil.
Right.
Being attacked by aliens. Even back about 2 years ago, I remember hearing about people in South America being attacked by entities.
Right.
In kind of Iron Man exosuits of some sort being attacked and being either killed or experimented upon. I don't know all the nuances of that.
I remember that it was like they were experimenting on the people.
There was some weird stuff going on, and the people who were there were defending themselves using guns and so on like that, but having zero effect on said attackers. And It was a very bizarre sort of thing. I remember seeing only a video of one thing, but again, not to disparage against the South American use of video, but I've never found that anything that comes out of South America as far as video is concerned to be cohesive and salient as far as like information, people who are doing the reporting. Everything's always in a rush. It's always a snippet of something. It is always cut off. And it's just like, you know what? This sounds like a Hollywood production to me, more than anything else, like a UFO invasion. Now, when we were talking about this tentacle thing attacking this guy, it sounds almost straight out of like War of the Worlds, because when there's a household that has been attacked, and you have a former creature inside this building that draws this guy in, the protagonist of the story, though we never learn his name. Protagonist and said Vicar. Vicar goes bonkers thinking that, you know, we'll just build our way back up and society will build its way back up, going underground and coming back up and attacking the invaders and so on. A tentacle comes in from outside influence, grabs a hold of Vicar and pulls him out of the building and attacks him and kills him. That's what that sounds like to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, we never see the Vicar or hear about the Vicar later on in Wells' story. But that was centuries ago, or at least 2 centuries ago.
So, there's another one that happened in 1988.
Okay.
In Guara Esparganga Reservoir in Brazil. I know I killed that. I just did it right. In Brazil. The victim had been found dead 48 to 72 hours, but there's no sign of decomposition. Okay? The ears, eyes, tongue, and genitalia had been removed. Ed has the digestive organs, and they were never able to identify the victim. Okay?
Oh, now, I'm going to go back to my deal with the body mutilation real quick. So one of the things that was noticed about the calf that had been taken, the eye socket, right around the eye socket, okay? So there's a clear-cut amount of flesh, muscle, literally gone. The only thing that you saw was the bone. But the area right around the eye socket itself was charred, like it would be exposed to high heat in some fashion. The ear was in the same fashion. And then, of course, the brisket had built up. Yeah, the exact. Okay, so Paul right now has just pulled up a shot of a.
This is Brazil.
Brazil and a person that has both eyes gone?
No.
Or just the left eye?
Left eye and the left part of the left cheek.
Left cheek is gone. So there seems to be this predilection that is like, if we're taking a sampling of being, if you're an extraterrestrial or interdimensional creature, left side seems to be affected. And is that his left arm on the right?
Left arm, and that's, and
elbow and wrist?
Yeah, and, you know, if it was bleeding, you'd see a lot of blood on the side. There's no blood.
There's no blood. There's just basically a hole in the skin, from what I'm seeing.
Almost looks like it's burnt.
I think there's a lot of high energy that's being used to cauterize whatever blood's around that specific area.
Well, we're going to go to another picture here. This is kind of gross. It's, where's it at here? That's another one.
Yikes, that one.
This is Brazil again. She's 17-year-old. You can tell her eye socket's taken out.
Yep.
And her left cheek is gone.
It's clean down to the bone. It shows this.
And there's this incision that actually takes out her digestive system.
Digestive system?
Yeah.
Not her reproductive system?
It could be. It's off on the right a little bit, so could be.
These pictures that I'm seeing that Paul's being drawn, and then there shows a comparison between cattle and this human being. What year was this? 2009.
17-year-old female. Parts the Nito.
Yeah.
She's definitely the Nito in this one. It basically shows her whole left side of her face is gone. This one shows another person from up here.
This one's 2019.
Okay, 2019. This particular one shows the person on the right side, but I don't know if the picture's been reversed.
Missing eyes, lips, suction marks, and the lack of blood around the body.
Yeah, that's a pretty horrific looking image. Looks like the clothing had been pulled up over the entire torso and then stuff taken.
Okay, here's what they have a little thing here. It says, two cookie cutter wounds in the chest is usually what they find, right here.
So it's left and right of the chest.
Left eye socket removed. Eyelid removed. Ear removed. Left ear.
Yep.
Lips removed. Side of jaw removed. Jawbone removed. No blood whatsoever.
Tongue removed?
Yeah. Tongue.
Okay. So that's both animal and human are being experimented upon. There used to be some idea that according to people at the time they were doing some of this, they were approved before the year 2000, seemed to suggest that there was a national barrier. Like there was an agreement approached that you weren't supposed to deal with Americans. You could deal with cattle all you want, but you don't deal with Americans. However, you go south of the border, you got these people being experimented upon like nothing else.
Yeah.
And just random.
Lot in Brazil.
And yeah, so I'm going to say this. If you're looking for a trip outside of the States, you can go to Brazil. At least from what I'm seeing right now. Because that sounds like it's terrible. Those are wicked.
So, this is like on the internet. You can actually look this up. This is why we're so scary. Is like some of these places, one of the things that they don't want to bring up, and this is what Bill Cooper said, is that if they find out that there's parts on these aliens, and it comes out that they're abducting, remember, there was a deal made that they could abduct humans, do experiments, as long as we got alien technology.
Correct.
Right? So, I don't know if this is part. Plus, come out, we would bring this out again. There's 600,000 in the United States that are missing a year. Okay? This is strange. This is freaky. And this is not just happening on the Americas. Australia's having the problem. Europe's having the problem. And they're having the mutations and everything else. So, what's going on? You know, it's like, I'm in my castle, I'm happy.
Wrong. We're coming through the wall right now, and we're going to pull you in, because we need some parts. Exactly. So, I mean, it's almost incomprehensible that the government that is here to protect you cannot do a damn thing, because they already made deals with the devil. Hence the terminology of demons being brought back into the popular vernacular.
Right. And I think that this is my theory too, is like the reason that some of these alien crafts are being they crash, there's a war going on right now, I think. There's some aliens that are good aliens and that want to help us and some bad, and I think every once in a while there's some clashes.
I think that there are clashes going on. I don't know how well these benevolent aliens are here. I mean, they do a lot of experimentation on people, but I'm not hearing how they're helping us along the way. Now, the benevolent aliens, lizard people, You guys are a bunch of bastards, in my opinion.
Well, I think that's what the Greys are doing. They come getting people in mutilations. It's like, oh, maybe it's a delicacy to the Draconians.
Well, that's what they say. Now, remember, there's been talk about it's just like, why are they here? So there's the idea that the human soul is one part of it. There's also, from what I heard earlier today, by the last interview by, was it Phil Snow? The guy who attacked the Bolsey base.
Right, right.
So he said that they are feeding on the secretions of human beings. So there's something about the fear factor that brings up certain amounts of adrenal glands, pumping out certain stuff that these creatures thrive on.
Oh, wow.
It's like a drug. So humans are the biggest cocaine ever. They just don't snort us, at least as far as I know, but that'd be gross. Okay, think about it. Put chocolate on
here. I will try that.
I got my intergalactic card. Where's my mirror? Chop that shit up, baby. Where's my fucking straw? You know, I mean, is it as easy as that? I mean, everybody seems to have this like it's some higher purpose. No, it can be the most basest thing, and I don't think that people realize that we're not that far advanced above the animals that we tend to around here. Okay, so. Us as shepherds? Yeah, no, we only group certain groups of animals, but if you want to deal with people, well, that's a different story. But, you know, we're all the same to a lot of these upper intelligences and animals. They've experimented upon us. There's been intermixes of stuff. There's been battles of wills between different individual groups of people. Nordics, the bigger greys, the blues, the mantids, the lyrans,
the draconians.
Take your pick.
Yeah.
But we're all seeming to be like the culmination of everybody's interest in this is like, well, you got a group of like slightly intelligent animals on this planet. And the reason why we're intelligent as opposed to the other creatures on this planet, maybe with the exception of the cetaceans, meaning whales, dolphins, and so on like that.
Right.
Which are considered to be on par in most cases by scientists, that they're very intelligent working in cosmos. That us laying creatures, we're just slightly bent and viewed with experimentation upon us to elevate our intelligence to a small degree. Thanks, Anunnaki. You want more gold? I'll go get you some. Just leave my brain alone.
Just remember, though, they revolted and actually got him out of here.
Yeah, and they're all going to be chilled monkey herds. That's a little temple of doom for you, baby.
Oh, my God. You got these 10-foot people sitting there and human head.
A bunch of human skulls being, you know, brought in here. It's like, ooh, just pull the cat off.
That's gross. It's just like, oh, God.
You know, Hannibal Lecter would be right at home there.
Yes.
Sorry, I've been watching that show just recently. Sorry, pop culture just kind of filtered in.
Well, that's the one with Ray. I think it's the third one, where he's in Italy and he's sitting there and Leota,
Ray Leota,
yeah. And his head's, he's cut off the skull, and he's feeding him his own brains.
You are what you eat. And he says, like, you're a moron, so you get moronic food. Here you go. Oh, that smells delicious.
Oh, God.
It was so foul.
So foul. So, we're laughing now because we have to do something, because this has been... We got intense, so...
It is weird, but I mean, you're... In one way, I think you could look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, I guess I'm part of the human cloud. Now, when the episode for the Twilight Zone said, to serve man, Do you think that was a progenitor to this? Oh, I think that Damon Knight, the guy who lived across the street from me, who wrote that story for Rod Serling, I think he had his fingers in some stuff. And I think that was part of this. Like, we'll disseminate a little bit to the regular populace, and it'll be a popular story and popular culture, but we are being tasked by that group of the Condon reporters, thing that included GL and playing up and stuff like that.
I know the report now.
The report basically stated that it's like there is certain populace that we can slowly reveal this kind of stuff to, but if you were to bring all this up at the same time, you'd have a cultural breakdown of religious significance, and you wouldn't be able to control the populace whatsoever. At all.
So, now that we got you all to this point, yes. So, I gotta tell you that, you know, with aluminum foil, you can make any kind of hat you want or helmet. You could go Roman. You could go Greek. You can just put a little beanie on top. And so, for all you guys out there, yeah.
Start busting out your space helmets, dudes.
Welcome to the Aluminum Hat Club.
The problem is that I think I've heard some interesting stories today, just today alone, saying the reason why human beings have become so docile is because this is a great one, because this goes right back to
watching cattle.
Well, not cattle. This goes right back to watching like the movie about Dr. Strange, like where they talk about fluorination. Using fluoride in the water because it encapsulates the pineal and calcifies it, so you're not able to perceive the stuff with your third eye anymore. And it's just like, where the hell is this going? I mean, okay, there's some stuff that backs a little bit of that, but
so I guess you could say, so everything we've done our research and stuff. So coming from us, it would be hearsay. So, it's your choice to believe it or not to believe it, or even go further and do your own research.
Always, always do your own research. Don't take it for granted. I'm the last person you should listen to. I just have some interest in the subject, as does Paul.
Yes.
I would say any of the topics that we talk about, maybe with the exception of pop culture per se, when we're talking about Batman, or Ray Harryhausen, or the movie Them, or I guess one of those illustrations of that. That don't take anything that we take seriously. Take it not with a grain of salt, but with a container, with a teaspoon or more. You know, and gargle with it, and then spit it out, because it's up to you to make that decision. What makes your news true to you rather than what we're trying to portray.
I was just thinking, oh my god, this sounds really bad. We're the who would be the new one now? We're the Jesse Walters from Fox. We don't believe anything we tell you. No.
Okay.
But that's not true. We really have done research, and so
there is some topics that I should mention just briefly that has been mentioned. So, a couple of these guys, and I'm not talking like us per se, but these guys have nationwide appeal. And I'm not going to mention them by name because I don't want to listen to them, you know, stuff going on. But the New Yorker article that I was reading today that was talking about this topic said that there are certain commentators that tridge upon the threat of drift, without naming a natural source. So they talk about alien interaction, they talk about demons, and they talk about governmental interference. But they're not willing to go far enough to say, this person in this particular organization is the reason why this is taking place. They're never willing to do that. So they get lots of clicks, And that's the other thing, too, is that there are a lot of TV shows, like the History Channel, that put that ancient aliens.
Right.
Or the Secrets of Skywalker Ranch.
Yeah, that's a, I mean, those are fun to watch, but, you know, take it with, again, anything you see, take it with a grain of salt, and do your own research.
Ancient astronaut theorists say yes. You know how I hate saying that, but that topic and that phrasing alone sounds like an AI wrote that little scenario for the History Channel.
Right.
And it's just like,
So we're at our towards the end of our program here. And we've had fun. This has really been one of our fun ones besides a couple other ones we have done. So I'm Paul.
And I'm Alan.
And we're going to sign off. And hope we were not somebody's meal.
Oh, yeah, please. You know, unless you're going to put me and dip me in some A1 steak sauce or something like that, okay? I would be agreeable to that.
I don't know. You'd be a little tough, I think.
Wow.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Ukulele music by Lahaina Music. Lahaina, Maui. Songs, Color by IMG, Unexplained Mystery Music by Sound Roll. These can all be found on Upbeat.